Today on The Journey with Steve DeWitt, a lesson on loneliness.
Christianity is a great way to deal with your loneliness, especially with God. God wants our loneliness to spur us to pray more. God wants us our loneliness to serve others more. God wants our loneliness to spur us to search our hearts and confess any sin that might be somehow hindering my walk with God. That's what God wants loneliness to do. But the flesh wants us to weaponize it.
Welcome to The Journey with Steve DeWitt. Loneliness is a universal ache, a yearning for connection and belonging that often finds its roots in the brokenness of our world. Today, Pastor Steve reminds us that even in the midst of isolation, the gospel offers not only comfort, but genuine companionship. We're discovering the hope of the gospel with the second part of an encouraging message all about redeeming loneliness. If you missed part one, you can replay it online at thejourney.fm. But now, here's Pastor Steve DeWitt.
What is loneliness? Why is it so powerful? And why is it such an endemic with humanity? And how should we think about it? There is in all of us this longing that maybe you've never thought about. Why do I feel this way? And what can I do about it? And in many ways, you can look at society and people around us, and even in our own lives, and realize so much of why people do what they do is to, in some way, deal with the pain of loneliness. And just quickly, I want to just highlight a couple. There's a lot of things here, but just to note a couple ways that image bearers seek to deal with the pain and to numb the pain. Here are some false approaches to dealing with loneliness. Here's a big one. Isolation. Proverbs 18, verse 1, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire, he breaks out against all sound judgment. This is becoming a favorite verse of mine. You know a terrible way to deal with loneliness? Further isolation. Okay, this is the breaks out against sound doctrine, because this is like the opposite of what you would expect if somebody was going to deal with loneliness. I'm so lonely, I'm going to get away from everybody. And yet, this is what human beings do. If somebody hurts us, if somebody indicates they don't care for us the way that they think we should think they should care for us, whatever it might be, we will withdraw from them and think that by withdrawing, it's going to feel better. It is what pride and self-pity does. It weaponizes that pain and turns it into isolation. As I talk about this, some of you are probably thinking about a family member who got their nose out of joint at Thanksgiving 30 years ago and hasn't talked to anybody ever since. This kind of thing happens all the time. And I want you to see from it what it really is speaking to is how valuable relationships are. If you don't give a rip, you keep talking with people. But if you care, you withdraw. That's passive aggressive. It is isolation. Second way, and again, there's a lot of ways that people deal with loneliness. I'm just highlighting two here, but this is such a big one, I have to do it, is distraction. And I'm including in this a bucket of social media, phone obsession, gaming, entertainment of all different sorts. Everybody's on their phone. They're not looking at each other. They're hardly talking to each other. They are scrolling, they are searching, they are hoping for a low-level dopamine hit from something interesting or somebody acknowledging them in some way. And all that scrolling is a distraction from what God intended image bearers and how God intended image bearers to relate to one another, which is face-to-face communication where we look each other in the eye and our mouths speak our hearts, and we fellowship and share with one another. The absence of that, complicated by this technological distraction, has made us, arguably, we're the loneliest generation of all time. There's lots of other examples here, okay? The gamer, the all-night gamer, right? Obsessed with the gaming, the Netflix binger, All of these things, what I want you to realize is that even though they're accepted and normal part of life today, all of them are keeping us in the shallow end of the pool. In fact, there's a book called The Shallows written about how this is making for shallow thinking and shallow people. And even in the church, where we love doctrine and we love truth and we've got the gospel and eternity, these are all things that should enrich us and deepen us. These other things are keeping us over here in the shallow end of the pool. And time will tell. You know, here it is, Verge Sunday, Student Takeover Sunday. This generation of young people who are more obsessed with these things than any ever in human history, time will tell the developmental skills that have now become lacking in their ability to forge substantive human relationships. It's all digital. I don't know what that's gonna mean down the road. There's a famous book written like 30 years ago called Amusing Ourselves to Death. It should almost be the next book in the Bible in terms of its how truthful it is. And these things are keeping us from meaningful relationships with other people. The time that we spend doing it, the distraction of these things. If you are lonely, if this is an ache in your heart, just honestly look at your relationship with technology. That's something you can control. You may never have, you know, somebody say, let's be best friends, but you can control that. And who knows how God might use it. So Blaise Pascal. Okay, Blaise Pascal, I talked about Blaise Pascal a year ago. I did a message called Pastor Steve's Pensees, Blaise Pascal, famous 17th century, I believe, I can check my, 17th century mathematician. To this day, if you take math, you got, you know, you talk about Pascal, and he was also a theologian, and he thought deeply about humanity and God, and one of his more famous statements is this one. I have discovered that all the unhappiness of men arises from one single fact, that they cannot stay quietly in their own chamber. What is our problem? You put one of us alone in a room. We couldn't handle it. And so our solution is constant distraction, constant entertainment. And our society is all too happy to keep us distracted and entertained. Be honest, if you had to go to prison, would you miss your family and friends more or your phone? Such are the strange and lonely days that we live in. Now, you're like, Pastor Steve, boy, okay, it's bad out there. I know it's bad out there and I struggle with it a little bit, but like, can you help me? Like, how do I do this? Let's get a little more practical in dealing with loneliness. How do we turn, here's my goal. I want us to understand how loneliness itself is not bad, and it's certainly not a sin. And it actually can be a friend to us if we handle it properly and understand what I'm feeling, okay? So how do we do this? And here's the first, and this is key. We have to understand why God made us this way. Why do I feel what I feel? And what we understand in the way that God made us as image bearers is that loneliness is part of the inner architecture of what it means to be an image bearer of God. It is acting like sensors in your car. It is indicating that something is running low. I remember my sister, Barb. I shouldn't have named her, but it was Barb. My sister, Barb, she had a car in college, and one day she called my dad and she said, "It's not running. The car isn't running." And my dad asked a few questions and found out that the check engine oil light had been on longer than she can remember. But she didn't realize that that meant you were supposed to do something. Now, ironically, my dad's entire career was as an engine engineer for John Deere. And somehow that skipped a generation. It wasn't passed on to my sister. When the engine oil light goes off, it's telling you that you need to do something. Something is running low. And many people, that light has been flashing in their soul for a long time, the loneliness light. And it's trying to say, there is something running low in your life. There is something, there is a sensor here that's telling you that something isn't quite right. And yet many people, they just keep driving, ignore it. If I ignore it, it goes away. No, it doesn't. Okay, so loneliness is not a sin, it's a sensor put there by God. It's a friend, okay? As much as we hate it when one of those things go off on our dash, air tire pressure low, engine oil, get gas tank low, that's particularly painful these days. Those are good things, and you want to have those things, and if we ignore them, we do so at our own peril. So loneliness is like hunger. If I said to you, describe what it feels like to be hungry, you would say, well, I have this feeling inside me. This will be even more effective second service today. I have this feeling inside me, and it tells me that, I don't know how I would describe it, but all I can tell you is that the smell of bacon does something to me. When I am hungry, I need to eat something. What does it feel like to be thirsty? My mouth is dry, and I'm just craving some water to drink. Loneliness is the emotional, soulish equivalent of hunger, thirst, even sex drive, if you will. These are good things that God placed within us. Listen, here's a key point. It's coming now. God placed within us to move us towards those things that he designed for human flourishing. It's part of God's common grace. So when I'm hungry, I work at getting food. When I'm thirsty, I work at getting water. The discomfort spurs the change, if you handle it rightly. It's like, again, I'll go back to analogy of a car. Now these days, they have the rumble strips on the side of the highway, which I sometimes, to annoy my family, will intentionally run in those. But they are telling you, I'm getting off path here. That's loneliness. I need to adjust here, okay? So that's why it's there. With me? All right, number two. Let the pain of loneliness motivate you. Let it motivate you. Proverbs 14, verse 10. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. Here is Jesus on the cross, Matthew 27. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know what all those verses are indicating? That loneliness hurts. Even Jesus, lonely for God his Father, cries out in anguish. Why? Because God embedded in us this little prickly emotional reminder of how wonderful harmony with God is and how great it is to have harmony with other people. And the pain of that is a kind of measure of the loss. And not all pain is bad. When I work out, I feel pain, okay? I'm feeling pain. But that's good pain, okay? There's good pain and there's bad pain. The point is what you do with the pain. And that is the goal with loneliness. Make it good pain. Take it and use that energy it creates towards positive. Don't go to the UP and build a cabin by yourself. That is bad pain. Good pain motivates me to re-engage with the person, to seek forgiveness and reconciliation, to go to God, to confess my sins to him, to want a healthy relationship with God. Like hunger or thirst, respond to it rightly. Okay, so what does that look like? Okay, what does it look like? Loneliness creates this internal energy, which I can take and isolate and brood and feel bad about the person who did this, said this to me. I can resent the fact that I'm even lonely, and I can suppose my friends online are all happy all the time because they're all the time out with their girlfriends and taking the pictures, getting the group tattoo, posting it on Facebook and saying, I belong to somebody. Ooh, those girls out there having so much fun at Magnolia. I can obsess over people's failures in my life, how I was bullied when I was in school, how my parents treated another sibling better than me. These are all things we take that and we just use it in destructive ways. But as a Christian, understanding and even looking at my loneliness through the Bible, I have, by the power of the Spirit, a capacity to take that pain and to turn it in a positive direction, to allow it to motivate me towards deeper engagement with God and others. And I'll admit, this requires self-discipline and self-control. But one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. My flesh inside will urge self-destructive responses to loneliness and a host of other things. And this has been a year of tragic examples of this. What is a common denominator for nearly all of these people who are walking into malls and other places and shooting the place up? They are all loners. They're all loners. And that is a destructive way to deal with loneliness. But as Christians, we are in union with Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit within us. The purpose of God is to sanctify us, to make us into the likeness of Christ. And we resist our flesh's desire to weaponize that pain into more pain, and we submit to the purposes and the will of our Heavenly Father. Romans 6, verse 4, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in newness of life. I'm so glad I can tell you that Christianity is a great way to deal with your loneliness, especially with God. Galatians 5, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do, the spiritual you wants to do. The flesh, this indwelling sin in us, even as Christians, this enemy within us, wants to take anything it can to destroy God's work within us. And loneliness is one of those things. God wants our loneliness to spur us to pray more. God wants us our loneliness to serve others more. God wants our loneliness to spur us to search our hearts and confess any sin that might be somehow hindering my walk with God. That's what God wants loneliness to do. But the flesh wants us to weaponize it and to hurt the person and to hurt ourselves and to be passive aggressive and a host of other things that would only make our loneliness worse. Our flesh hates God, and so when we have the prick of loneliness, it seizes upon it and says, be bitter about it. Be jealous about it. Be angry about it. But the gospel of Jesus is a gospel of grace. You know how you get out of loneliness? Grace is a big part of it. Grace towards others, maybe grace towards yourself and what it means to be human and apply grace to the hurts of our lives, even the sins that people do against us. What do you do with your hunger? You know, there are self-destructive things that you can eat. What do you do with your thirst? There are self-destructive things that you can drink. What do you do with your loneliness? There are destructive things that you can do with loneliness. Can I quote Pascal one more time? What is it then that this desire and this inability proclaim to us, but that there was once in man a true happiness of which there now remain to him only the mark and the empty trace, which he in vain tries to fill from all his surroundings, seeking from things absent the help he does not obtain in things present. This is one you got to read about 5 times, I'm going to admit to you, but I'll explain it in a moment. But these are all inadequate, because the infinite abyss can only be filled by an infinite and immutable object. That is to say, only by God himself. I'm gonna guess many of you have probably heard about the God-sized hole in our hearts. I think sourced in this very quote from Pascal. There's a God-sized hole in our heart, and we dump in all these different idols and things of the world, hoping it will fill the hole, but nothing can, because the hole is so big that only God himself can fill it. Or as Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. Peer into your heart, friend. There is a longing hole that nothing in this world can fill. You were made for God. And we are lonely until we find God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Pastor Steve, you haven't really told us specifically, practically, very much about how to do this. Not so much. But I did say last week that these three messages are really just one message, okay? So we are two-thirds of the way through the one message now. And next week's message is entirely practical helps in dealing with loneliness and how to turn loneliness into a friend. I have one more thing to say. Loneliness can only truly be a friend after Jesus becomes your Savior. And I just wonder if maybe a message on loneliness like this one, that maybe God would speak to your heart, to that ache in your heart, and might draw you in faith to his son Jesus. You know, God's solution to loneliness is not to send a friend. He sent a Savior. And his name was Jesus. And that Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." How do we fill that hole in our hearts? It is through Jesus Christ. He is the way to the Father. And if you are here today and you are searching and you're longing and there's a thing in your heart and you're like, man, I've tried this, I've tried that, nothing's working around here. I want to introduce you to Jesus Christ, who the Bible says was the Son of God, who died on the cross for your sins, to take away the guilt of your sins, to restore you to your Creator. He has a ministry of reconciliation. He brings God and people together. And we are under that grace when we turn from our sin, acknowledge that we're sinners, and respond to the message of the gospel by faith and truly trust that Jesus died for me. When we do that, God promises us full restoration with him, with others, forever in what is known as eternal life. And if you really search your heart, what you are actually longing for is not a friend at camp, but a best friend forever. And Christians find that in Jesus. He is a friend of sinners forever and ever. And I would urge you to follow him.
Only God can transform loneliness and turn it into an opportunity for growth and joy. You're listening to The Journey with Steve DeWitt and the second part of a message titled Loneliness. Remember, you can always replay and share these Bible lessons by visiting us online at thejourney.fm. Well, here on The Journey, our goal is to be here for you in your own faith journey, guiding you towards the timeless truths found within God's Word. Every day through our broadcast on the radio and web, we journey deep into Scripture, presenting its insights in a way that's both accessible and relevant to your everyday life. But we couldn't do it alone. As a listener-supported program, we rely on the generosity of friends like you to continue spreading the light of the gospel across the nation. Will you partner with us today in this vital mission? You can call us at 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. Or you can give online at thejourney.fm. And when you do give, you'll receive a copy of Pastor Steve DeWitt's brand new book titled Loneliness. Don't hate it or waste it, redeem it. Is there a sweetness or a blessing offered in the valley of loneliness? Steve has discovered that there absolutely is. Once the only never-married megachurch pastor in America, Pastor Steve draws from his personal experience of loneliness and offers biblical truth and practical advice to those who feel isolated. Discover how loneliness can become a pathway to experiencing the presence, promise, and power of Jesus Christ. When you request your copy of Loneliness today, it's yours when you give a gift of support to The Journey. Again, call 844-7-JOURNEY or visit thejourney.fm. I'm Tim Svoboda, inviting you to join us next time as we begin part three of today's message. Pastor Steve DeWitt will be sharing more about how the gospel empowers us to redeem the ache of loneliness. That's Friday on The Journey. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.